wasting a lot of people's time. But I like wasting...
I don't think anyone's going to listen to it, so how's it wasting anyone's time but ours?
Yeah, and that's pretty much
the voice of reason steps in.
And that was pretty much my approach too, man. Just, you know...
How are the levels over there, bud?
Trying to boost it up
yes,
a little bit more.
Yes, tell us a great one.
Don't want to toot your horn, but how are those levels doing?
Good enough, I guess.
So, we have a new host tonight. Jason's not with us, unfortunately.
Well, I guess we could start
I'm not
now.
A host? I have a penis.
Okay, so let's introduce Mary.
Or should say,
Mouse.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, welcome. This is the third installment of our podcast where we talk about a whole lot of nothing. This is Mixion, Billy.
Hook.
And Jason is not with us this week. He's retired for the evening by the time we've gathered, so in his place is my bride, Mary. Chalice.
Malice.
So, where should we begin with this week's? I mean, have you listened to anything new? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, I think we should introduce Mary. I mean, she's a very interesting person. So, Mary, usually we like to start off the show with talking about, you know, what we've been spinning, listening to, or watching. Anything in mind?
What's playing in the car right now?
Krizian.
In your car, but in my car... Mm.
That's been in the... Oh, I was going to say, that's been in your car for 3 weeks?
Is that good?
Nice.
I think I have played The Beast by Vader at least like 80 times this week in a row. It's a few years old. I think it came out 2005. And I have yet to even buy their new one.
Yeah, still going to pick that up.
It's likely very sick.
Do you like Revelations?
I don't think I have that one either.
Yeah, that was 2002, I believe.
Litany is probably my favorite one. Ultra sick. But right now, the hubby has the new Krizian and spinning in the car, and it's the ultimate brutality.
It's a good album.
It's like it's a 3-piece band from Brazil, and it's like kind of like Rush, 3-piece band.
It's not that progressive though. It's more like a.
I was joking.
It's more like a Brazilian Reich. It's fucking military.
Every once in a while,
I can't think of any other 3-piece band in metal out there right now. Can you?
Maybe Immortal. Immortal, but
probably some basement black metal band somewhere.
Yeah.
That we don't know about.
Don't want to know about.
Yeah.
I can name one now. Not active, but...
I used to be in another band.
Yeah. The 3-piece thing. Mm-hmm.
Permanent Midnight.
Right. So usually...
Midnight for 5 minutes.
We start... Yeah, can you tell me where that name came from? Because I've never been comfortable with that name. It just kind of grew on me, but I'd never really...
Yeah, used to be called Lycanthropy, but we ended up finding out somehow that there was another band with the same name in, I think it was California. So, you know, we dropped the name. Jason Yakimowski ended up... I think he watched a movie with the name Permanent Midnight with...
Ben Stiller,
thank you. And I mean, pretty much just took that. It sounded like a really good name for a black metal band, even though we weren't black metal. We weren't really anything at that point in time. I guess it was fortuitous for us that we kind of grew into it.
Why did you not like the name? I think it's a good name. I didn't like the logo too much. Like the oldest one that you had that was...
With the moon and the pentagram and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very generic.
Yeah, it was something I whipped up. You know.
When you have your label's pretty much your brand, so you really need to get a strong one.
Well, it's not that I didn't like the name, I just thought it was... Well, for one, when you think Permanent Midnight, you think of that movie. And, I don't know, for some reason, the band was already Permanent Midnight when I got there, so, I mean, I didn't really argue about it, I thought Lycanthropy would have fit better. I mean, every fucking song we had was about wolves.
Yeah, pretty much. I actually
had a wolf singing.
I had some cool logos designed for that too, but Whatever. You know what? I was talking to Jason earlier and talking about the very first demo we did. I mean, a proper demo recorded on...
Earlier? What? Oh, sorry.
And the first demo, proper demo we recorded, well, I guess, you know, proper being on an 8-track tape.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that session?
You're talking about the one that Dan Kishball did?
That's it.
Are we being nice? Or are we are we going to say...
Not the album. This isn't the album. I mean, the actual tape that we actually got back and were able to listen to.
The one that kind of sounded like shit?
Did you listen to it recently?
No.
You know where it is?
No.
I wish I did. When we first recorded it, I don't even remember what tracks we had on it. Probably Set and They Feed in a Night. I don't even know if we had Evil in the Forest done by then.
That was the July 2003 session.
Yeah. I don't even remember. Was it Wolf? Or maybe we recorded, or we written Wolf after that demo. But
no, Wolf was on it.
That was when we had just finished it. We were listening back to it. We had the tapes back. I didn't like the way it sounded, but a few years after we had recorded it, I went back and listened to it, and it sounded authentically black metal. I mean, the production was rough, but in that aspect, it made it sound like a band from the early 90s in fucking Norway, not, you know, a couple fucking, you know, degenerates from Podunk Berwick.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded really cool.
Yeah, I remember that session. We went in there, we went to his little garage studio, and we kind of... That was the last real time that we did anything as... I mean, after that, it kind of went downhill.
Yeah.
As far as personal relationships went
and stuff. Personal stuff, yeah. That was kind of the beginning and the end as far as the personal stuff, but there was still some good stuff we had written afterwards.
Well, let me just
well,
say...
Well, you guys do realize how young and immature you were.
Were?
Do you think that if you Something's were coming changed. Together now, maybe it could be a little different if you were just meeting now as, you know, adults?
Yeah.
That had experiences in life.
Well, I think that way anyway, because
kids are always very cocky and they think they know it all and... Whatever else.
I didn't know shit, man. It's like, well, maybe I can show another guitarist how to play this stuff and they can play it better.
Yeah. You know, and we gotta also put out the point that, you know, people might not know what we're talking about doing this, but it's just...
You're not missing nothing.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of idiots sitting in a room. Just a bunch of, like... Morons still sitting around talking about memories that nobody else has a clue, you know.
Kind of like the high school quarterback who's bagging groceries 20 years after the fact.
But it would be nice to hear another band that we know do something like this. Just talk about random memories because you very seldom hear about, like, the process of making something. I mean, mm-hmm. on DVDs, you have, like, the special features, the making of a film. But with albums and stuff, and you don't really hear people going on the airwaves talking about their experiences, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, there's some bands now who are, you know, doing something. I mean, suffice to say, a lot more than we ever did in music, still doing shows, playing festivals overseas. I mean, you get to hear their perspective and see what's going on, but you don't really get to hear from those musicians who, you know, tried and failed.
Exactly, and we tried and we failed.
Yeah.
To a point, you know.
To a point.
But you didn't try very far.
No.
We didn't go very
you
far.
You gotta try farther out of Columbia County.
Well, that's another thing. We talked, you know, extensively in the past two podcasts about how this area, northeastern Pennsylvania, is pretty much dead as far as metal is concerned. When I moved out of Pennsylvania in 2005, it was so ironic that as soon as I left, you had the insurgence of, like, Killing Chapel, Nailed to Earth was around, and you had these little metal acts that were right around, you know, what we were doing.
Extermination, too, with...
Extermination was...
With Nick Cyanide.
Yep. Extermination was a good band.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually... I saw them in New York as Cryptic Stench on a brief stint they had.
Yeah. I still have an Extermination button. I think it's on one of my skull caps.
Well, Mary, you know, like Jason, you came. I mean, you were hardly ever on the East Coast. I mean, what's your opinion when you came here about the music scene?
What music scene?
There you go.
NYDM, sorry, is not creating anything to help it.
Yep.
At all.
So, when I...
They could be very powerful force out here, but I don't see them doing anything to help it.
So, as far as, like the local stuff, like Oz, what he's done, do you think there's any promise for more metal bands?
Not that I see. And, you know, Oz has his chapter, and there's, what, one metal band in the Scranton area, and that's it. I just don't see. I mean, he's got a good intentions, but I don't see how anything is going to come of this area, because there is nothing. And it seems like, you know, out here you've got your Staples, you got your Suffocation and your Overkill, and those guys are still around, but where are the new bands, the new promising bands? I don't see them. And it's very difficult to get signed in the first place at all. So you really have to have something more interesting.
The lack of venues and...
musically. To get anywhere.
Yep.
But, you know, the older we get, the younger the kids seem to get, and the less they are into true and real metal.
Right. I mean, it seems like anything newer is really not, it doesn't, I mean, you know, with the exception of Oz doing Eldritch, it seems like a lot of bands I hear around the whole, you know, around the globe, nobody has that sound, that traditional death metal sound from the 80s, early 90s, you know, I mean, that's like a breed that, you know, when they're done, you know, we have to have somebody carry the torch. Which won't happen around this area.
Yep. It's kind of hard to see a metal band coming up these days that doesn't have the word core somewhere in the genre description for them.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking briefly before about, you know, in Bloom 12, 15 years ago, there was like a huge punk scene down there. Or over there, wherever.
There was the 200 Softies, the Mongols... And Chris Britton's band?
Skank Williams. Yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of punk bands playing, and that's all but dead.
Yeah, all they have there now is, like, fucking emo shit. Literally, still.
Yeah, I'm really out of the loop with this area anyway. I mean,
yeah, it's not good. Supposedly, there's supposed to be a metal show going on at Phillips. Not Phillips, but in Bloomsburg. I don't know where exactly, but bands I've never heard of. So, yeah.
Probably just the Screamo Kids.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing we can do about it. We can just keep plugging away at what we like. And, yeah. You know, our old staples usually come around for us. You know, if they got any new releases, you can guarantee they're going to be good, at least. But that's not going to go on forever. Those guys are aging.
Yeah,
and, Moonspell. Like you said, Hook, there's who the hell's going to carry the torch for them?
Right.
Moonspell, for one, Tiamat's working on new stuff, Paradise Lost is going to have new stuff, Unleashed will have a new album out in April.
You're talking right there, you're talking all European bands.
Yep.
What do we have
all
here
bands,
in the United
States? Pretty much all bands that have been around for just about 20 years.
We have the same fucking bands, the old dudes that are still going, and some of them that are
Overkill.
Gone, that are dead.
Well, Jason asked a question last week about bands that we have heard, or I think it was you, bands that we've heard in the recent past 5 years, new bands that's floored us. I couldn't think of any at the time, and I still really can't, because, you know, if I'm not listening to the latest Autopsy CD or something that I've listened to my whole life, there's really nothing new from a new band that I'm latched onto.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just going back, and either the guys that have been making the music the past 20 years are still making CD albums, or like there's like nothing new for I mean, remember that show we went to in Wilkes-Barre, back in 2002, the Dying Fetus show?
Yes.
And, you know, it was all, like, metalcore stuff.
Yep.
There was one thrash band, and then Dying Fetus headlined the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just...
the beginning of the end.
And it's hard to say, you know, new, because a band might be around for 10 years before they even get a freaking album out.
Yeah.
You rarely see, like, okay, this band's been around for 2 years, and they're putting out an album. It just doesn't really happen like that.
Yep.
Personally, I think the best band here in the United States in the last decade is Nile.
The last decade?
Yeah. Last decade.
Last decade.
But, well, technically, close, eh. Catacombs and Different Cock came out, like, what, 99?
I know, it came out in 98.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
as far as a series of releases, it's Nile.
Well, we can also talk...
the last decade.
Right. We can also... it's the same way with... I mean, where has the entertainment industry gone to anyway? Not just music, but, you know, where's our fresh film? You know, where's...
yep.
You know, remakes.
Yeah. Whatever. Remakes and, you know, reboots of something. And, you know, we're going to make prequels to the thing and... nobody has an original idea anywhere.
So, what you're for, Nick.
American audiences as almost as a whole is just kind of settling for the basic shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just not really.
And again, I think that's still the generation. The young people just don't know what's good. And
don't know much of anything else, apparently, either.
The people making the films know this, and they just keep putting out the crap. To capitalize
they want to capitalize on a name, you know. For example, you know, John Carpenter made some of his great films in the 80s, and then you had people making, you know, they remade The Fog, which was dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made a prequel to The Thing. To be fair, I haven't seen it, but I really have. I mean, where is that new fucking horror director making something now that is going to be worth a shit in 10 years?
He's sitting right next to me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's fucking talking on a podcast no one gives a fuck about.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm working on a script now, and, you know, the writing process is slow. I'm not really sure where I'm going with it, but, you know, I'm trying something different. You know, and like I said, I'm probably not going to make anything. Because, again, you know, you could sit here and we could complain about originality, but I think everything is borrowed from something. I mean, you know, when John Carpenter was making his best films, even his films were borrowed from Ford films. You know what I mean? So you borrow anything. It's just giving your own, putting your own
stamp.
Yeah, just putting your own stamp to it and giving it a little piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
Is what really matters. But when you have, like, Morbid Angel coming out with an album that's totally different, you know. And again, I don't fault any artist or musician or filmmaker that wants to just kind of change things up instead of making the same music. Because my whole thing with Cannibal Corpse is, you know, it seems like after the Barnes era, I liked Vile.
Mm-hmm.
I actually liked Vile because I have that box set where they have the Chris Barnes Vile, and it didn't work out too well.
Mm-hmm.
And then George Fisher was in there. But after, like, 2002, it just started to all sound repetitive to me and very, you know, uninspired.
Mm-hmm. Kind of thinking as thinking of music and how it's, you know, music and video, motion pictures trying to, like, you know, pull from something in the past. Even technology kind of works like that, using past technologies and trying to better build upon it. And I think that's ultimately how progression and advancement works.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it is. I don't know with today's generations. Maybe it's just like a prolonged adolescence. They just can't grow up, or are just so ignorant for whatever reasons, be it, you know, lack of finances for education, or, you know, maybe we're just living too much time in the digital age.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. As far as Morbid Angel is concerned, it wasn't broken. And now it is.
Well, they fucked up once they got rid of Pete.
Well, they didn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to make this type of music, they could have created a side project.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
The same thing for Opeth and a few other bands that are doing this shit.
Semi-L for above?
Semi-L had to fulfill their record contract. They had to release something, and so they just released stuff as a Semi-L album. And I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
Morbid Angel, man.
Oh, yeah.
The best years were Steve Tucker, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I really loved Gateways to Annihilation.
Love it.
Brilliant fucking album. Yep. And I've seen Morbid Angel 2 times with both David Vincent and Steve Tucker. And I thought the better of the two shows was Steve Tucker.
Hmm.
Yeah, much better stage presence. He was all about the metal.
Not
about the flashiness.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Hook. Anybody ever tell you kind of look like Carlos Mencia?
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Well, there are some bands that definitely changed in a good way. You know, like Tiamat, they started out pretty much death metal. And, and Therion.
Yep.
There's bands that...
The Gathering.
Moonspell had the Butterfly Effect, which was a complete experiment.
Yeah.
They do different things. They still, you still know it's them, though. You still feel it.
Paradise Lost, too.
You feel it, you know it's them. It's not like, what the fuck, this is way out in left field shit.
Well, and that's what I felt listening to the Morbid Angel album. It was just... See, I was fooled because the first track I heard was the Nevermore song. And I was like, well, it's a little different, but it doesn't sound too far off. And then I heard the rest of that stuff, like that Radicult song. And
Jesus.
It's bad.
Sentence is another one that did a complete about face.
Full-on death metal when he first started.
Yeah, I love the death metal shit, but you can't even tell it's the same band. You cannot tell.
Was it on the first album that it was Mika doing vocals, and it sounded almost black metal and how he was doing that? That was fucking awesome.
And for me, that band changing, that's what really hooked me.
Catatonia changed drastically, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But not in the way Sentence did. I mean, Sentence found a particular sound that was just... It was great, and I love them. I'm not a huge fan of the, newer Catatonia.
Yeah, it seems...
I love the Doom shit.
It seems like the European bands can make that transition easier than, say, if, a band like Obituary just totally, went clean vocals and everything. I mean, it just wouldn't sound... Happen. Exactly. I mean, it wouldn't sound right anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a band like that would do that, but it just seems like Paradise Lost, those first, 2 albums?
Were Lost Paradise and Gothic.
Gothic, yeah. Those were... They sounded different than when they got into their more... I heard somebody reference it to, their Depeche Mode style.
Yeah.
Goth metal.
Right. But I didn't mind it as much, what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't mind it at all compared to what Morbid Angel did.
I prefer the old Paradise Lost, but
I
can definitely listen to the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lost Paradise was a great album.
Their new shit, I mean...
It's a lot heavier.
Yeah, Faith Divides Us, Death Unites Us is fucking awesome. I flipped out when I first heard that I was just so happy that, they kind of went back to where they came from to a certain extent. Plus, it helps that they tuned down the B for that one, and I think they kept that tuning for this one, because that's what I used to tune to.
Gee, just think if Slowly We Rot was re-recorded with clean vocals. Because there's no lyrics for that album.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of sound and shit. How would that sound?
With clean vocals?
It would sound like somebody that's, I don't know.
It's too bad Jason's not here. We can get him pulling out of bed.
How bizarre would that be?
That would be really bizarre. I'm not sure if I can handle it.
You know that the last show, the show they did at the championship?
Yeah.
Trevor was by himself playing guitar because Ralph Santola never showed up.
Oh, really?
Well,
that
would have
been interesting. Very interesting.
You're friends
no
with...
No leads.
You're friends with what? You're friends with Frank, right?
Trevor. Frank's not in the band anymore.
No.
Terry Butler is.
Trevor, okay, yeah.
They got Terry Butler, which is a good fit.
Terry Butler. The yo.
It's a good fit for him.
Yeah.
I see two patches on your shirt there. The obituary patch and the death patch.
That's right.
What is your favorite death album?
Sound of Perseverance.
Scream Bloody Gore is mine.
Well, it was the first one I ever heard, and I don't know. You always spiritual remember your first time. I mean, I loved Healing and Symbolic, but...
Symbolic's genius.
But his vocals on...
Why do you like the higher pitched?
It just sounded so different from anything else that was going on back then. As far as his vocals went, he, you know, just trying to raise that pitch. Not quite black metal, but not guttural death metal.
I think it was kind of Creator-ish, just a little bit.
And I liked Creator, too. Leave This World Behind, I really liked.
I just thought Chuck's old school vocals were pretty unique, you know.
Yeah, I love Scream Bloody Gore.
Well, I do, too. I mean, fucking,
I think
Zombie Ritual.
Yeah, I think Chuck just, not only his vocals, but his guitar playing, even. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was all his personality, man. Yeah. He didn't have very... I mean, so far as I can remember, I don't think he had any lessons. He was all self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't know any modes or scales or any of that shit. He just fucking played what was in his head.
Yeah.
He would practice for 2 or 3 hours a day. When he was a kid. He started when he was a kid.
Yeah. Wish I had that luxury.
And nimble fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, I got fucking Vienna sausages on my hand. I guess you never noticed. I'd made a better bass player.
You could always, you know, cut the tips off and, you know, because you got those weird pads on your fingers. Like,
I actually, I have fucking pads on my fingers. And when I was a kid, yeah, when I was like 13, they would always fucking make the frets buzz. I got so pissed off, I tried biting off some of the pads and that didn't go too well.
That's just weird.
Where else have those fingers been, though?
Where would you like them to be?
I can tell you.
I ain't going to Brown Town. Nope! This taxi don't stop there, buddy. Nope.
Getting back to the band thing, I like to see how people record their albums. Like, Bortnagar, they post a video of mm-hmm. the recording process, and I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, and that's one of the... I mean, if there's any really cool things about today's technology, aside from the ease of recording, you know, your own music, I mean, shit, recording podcasts right now, it doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge or a whole lot of equipment to do it, you know, but recording music these days, a lot easier. You don't have to cut tape if you're going to edit. If you are, I completely forgot where I was going with this.
Pro Tools.
Well... This is... The Windows 3 is about the same as Pro Tools as far as I'm concerned. I just hate Apple products.
How dare you try and correct Mr.
Well, I helped him with one of his college projects.
Yeah, in my MIDI class, we were three students. we were supposed to record...
There we go, tooting his horn again.
Oh, fuck yourself.
He's gonna toot my horn this time.
I got the camera, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, three students. I was in a group of three, and we were supposed to record three tracks for a fictitious movie. You know, one track is going to be for, like, the introductory scene. Say it was a space fiction movie. The second track was supposed to be for a love scene. And the third was for, fuck if I remember, probably an action scene or some shit. And, the times that I had slated to be in the studio, none of my fucking classmates showed up, so...
Mm.
The first track I recorded was just the intro scene. The next two studio sessions, Mary was in with me and helped me record the rest of that.
Yeah, and you've done...
That came out awesome.
Yeah.
And then those two jackasses came on the last day that he mm-hmm. had the studio, and they listened to all three tracks and said, oh, this is wonderful. Yeah, because you motherfuckers never showed up, and you didn't have to do anything, and you're going to take an A for it.
Right, well, I have a similar...
And then they wanted to record another track, and the ideas they had, like, making porn music, I just wanted to fucking club them both.
Yeah.
They wanted to make what?
Porn music.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Like that whole... That fucking wah-wah pedal shit. Well,
But going back to technology as far as, you know, recording bands when they're in the studio, I mean, you have your fucking iPods and your iPhones. It doesn't take all that much to just, you know, point and click to record. You just hop onto a Wi-Fi signal and upload it. I mean,
Somewhere we have footage of recording that 2003 demo.
Yeah, we do.
I think it was with you or Paul. One of you guys had a camera.
Paul had a camera.
Right. We have that somewhere. I mean, maybe it's with him, but we have a lot of footage that he might have that would be really nice to have.
Probably devoured by rats or mice or whatever things were living out in those parts. I'm going to have to cut that out.
Yeah, you know, when I went to film school a few years ago, I had the same problem with, you know, fellow students who, you know, you're given a camera and you're just told, go make something. And, you know, you're looking for people to do their jobs, you know, and it was myself and Sid on every shoot. And, you know, you're given like four people to do a job with you or a project and, you know, two of them don't show up. So you have to do all that stuff by yourself. It's fucking stressful, man. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Lazy bastard just want to ride your coattails.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, you spend money to go to these schools. You would think that you would want to be there to get what you're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said, you know, you hear a lot of filmmakers like Tarantino, you know, don't go to film school, it's a waste, blah, blah, blah. And I got to agree with that, man. I really have to agree with the whole college thing is so fucking overrated because I've learned more through books and YouTube and just special features on a DVD than I ever took from a film school. Film school, for me, was just an outlet to use nice equipment.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But as far as my instructors are concerned, I had some really fucking knowledgeable and cool instructors, you know, who were, I mean, number one, they knew basically how metal works, so they kind of knew where I was coming from. But aside from that, no. They really know how to get the most out of you, or at least they did for me, so...
Well, even you and I mean, we live, you know, 256 miles apart, and you've did some voiceover work along with some music for a commercial. I do
Hollywood Video, located at 1001 North Mulberry Street in Berwick. I still fucking remember the voiceover!
And
I still sound like a fucking fat Asian!
And there's also,
Run, fast, and run! Never
a
mind.
A few experimental, you know, short films I've done that you've done music for, and we're going to work together again.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully when we work together again, it's kind of in this type of atmosphere where I can be here with you instead of...
That would be cool.
...working so far apart, you know? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you got to give it to technology for what we could do so far away, you know?
Yep.
And, I mean, I gave you... you know, my direction to you is just, like, hey, I like this, try this. So, a lot of the times, it's you just doing what you do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Well,
you know?
When I recorded the score for Russian Roulette, I just had the basic idea of what you were looking for. You kind of gave me the atmosphere, the way it was shot, and
you timed that perfectly with the fucking video, too.
And that's fucked up because I had no video to go with. It was
no
just
source.
You know, completely blind.
Exactly.
So if that was any example of fucking luck,
see Billy, when you don't toot your horn, I'll toot it for you.
Thanks, baby. Yeah, just blind, stupid luck.
Yeah,
that's kind of how we went by with the past 30 years.
Yeah, and where you can't get your outlet. Like I was talking to Mary earlier about, you know, what she likes to do besides listening to music and
my bullshit,
promising me buckets of chicken on Facebook. She, you know, she's into photography and stuff, which is awesome. You know,
she's been doing modeling too. Yeah, Mia, she's been doing some modeling, too. A slap of that shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say hey,
drink
modeling
that shit.
So much as creating a different form of art.
Then she slapped that shit right off the table.
Mary and her brother are pretty gifted artists. You know, this podcast won't give any justice, but you don't have anything to plug, do you? Like, as far as,
Oh, just my vagina.
Like a,
and that's ocupado.
That's occupied?
Oh, thank you for telling everybody that's not listening.
I meant by me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I, no.
There's a vacancy post.
I'm king of the mountain! What?
Continue, please.
So,
God damn it.
If you ever get something up and running, man, you should get the word out there. Because I'm looking at that Peter Steele portrait. Fucking amazing.
Well, she's supposed to be meeting... We're going to be meeting with some dude on the 31st, meeting up with him in Allentown. At one point, he wants to see her artwork, so...
Good.
Yeah, he's a pilot. He actually is a air shows, and he goes up in the plane, and he takes pictures of other planes, because he's also a photographer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Yep.
Yep. Interesting how that shit works.
So we want to do a photo shoot this summer in a cornfield.
You and the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Is he the same one that took the other pictures?
Yep. No.
It's different. That guy's from Scranton.
Yeah,
that guy took them to
Scrant.
The other guy's pretty good. He's all right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the pictures turned out really good.
Same here.
Mary might disagree, but I think she looks good in those pictures.
Right. He kept trying to get me to smile, but I didn't really feel like smiling.
Yeah, the guy that did my graduation pictures in the cemetery made me smile. Tried to make me smile. Wasn't happening.
Back when you had your long hair?
Back before I lost it all.
Eh, there's still some there.
There's like a little island patch in the front that just won't go the fuck away.
How far back do you think it's gonna go?
All the way.
Eventually it's gonna be gone.
Yeah.
Which, I gotta get back to shaving it, man. I haven't maintained it for a while,
but... You could get a wonderful hairpiece.
I was gonna try the John Travolta thing.
Getting a wig?
I never knew he wore a wig till recently. Yeah. I think I heard that on Babylon, too.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that until I heard that.
Yep.
Hey, if he could do it, I'm going to do it. I'll come in here with orange hair again. Long orange hair.
Kellogg's frosted pubes.
Yep. I fucking hate you, Billy.
Here's a question. Why are you in here talking when you could be out, you know, tending to the field? Trimming trees.
That's racist, sir.
Cutting the grass.
That's racist, sir.
No, it's really funny because you're not even Mexican.
In fact, how the fuck did you even cross the border?
How do you know my language?
Crossing.
I have INS on speed dial.
Crossing the border was difficult, but I got it crossed. That's all you need to know.
Funny, you don't look like a runner.
You know, it's so ironic that somebody with orange hair makes fun of me for having orange hair, and somebody with a big belly makes fun of me for having a big belly.
You made fun of him for that?
When?
He's been making... The past 3 weeks we've been doing this show, he's been making fun of my big belly. References to how fat I am.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
I am extremely... How dare you, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that shit.
I'm offended. My feelings are fucking hurt.
Yeah, I could see the smile on your face too, asshole. Fucking.
But hey, does the gray at least make me look sophisticated?
I didn't even notice the gray, man.
I did. Yeah,
you can notice it.
I don't pay much attention, dude.
You're only just going to be 30 this year.
Just
going to
be 30 July.
Dude, I've had
what?
Fucking.
That's probably the kid already.
Nah.
It's been there for a while.
Yeah.
Before I had the boy.
I noticed it before, but I forgot. Dude, I've had fucking gray hair since I was in high school.
You know, is it true that when you...
Yeah, we're back. In case you are wondering what the hell happened, we kind of just stopped recording. Must be a glitch with the PC.
Must have been. Maybe if we had a proper producer, this wouldn't have happened.
Fuck you.
What were we talking about? We were talking about sperm, right?
Sperm and gray hairs.
Sperm and Mountain Dew.
Yeah, we were talking about hair, and then somehow you got into the topic of sperm.
I was just wondering. I mean, I made a beautiful kid, but I've jerked off so much in my life.
Well.
I was just wondering the science behind it all. Because I know it takes one sperm to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering if I've been doing this since I was 8, how did it work? You're a college major. You majored in something.
I didn't major in how babies were made, in case you haven't noticed. I don't have any kids. Thank the gods for that.
You wouldn't want kids with Mary?
Really?
I think you guys would make great parents.
We actually had that conversation earlier today,
I've never seen
over breakfast. We were at breakfast, having breakfast at Cracker Barrel, having this conversation. No, I think we're too militant, and no, we just don't have the patience. That, and I think we're too career-oriented.
We don't want to dedicate our lives for the next 18 years to a child, and besides that, you have to go to work and someone else raises your kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't want someone else raising our kid.
I would just love to see the little pumpkin.
Oh, it would be a fucking diabolical genius.
Mm-hmm. Pop out of that vagina, like...
Can you imagine what kind of brain it would have?
Are we talking about... Are we getting the brain from you or Jason?
What the... How the fuck would he factor into this?
I mean, genetics.
You're a sick person.
Genetics.
You're definitely a Pennsylvania.
What if he came out... what if he came out doing, like, little...
I'd be filing for divorce.
I have nothing like my brother.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying...
You think that I would pop out a kid that would have his gene splice?
I don't think that's wrong, though. I don't think that... I think, like, okay, for example, they say I look more like my uncle than my dad.
So?
And they say I have more characteristics of my uncle.
You look like your daddy.
I know I would be a little redhead, that's for sure. Because I had red hair when I was born, too.
Oh, yeah, it'd definitely have a red head. It would definitely have a red head. You know, I gotta tell you, Billy.
You look like an alien.
Well, they all look like aliens when they're born.
But I'm just trying to figure
out... What's this look?
I was gonna take that somewhere, but...
What's the first thing, besides what the fuck did I walk into? What was your first impression of Billy's friends?
Well, who did I meet? I met Paul first, I think.
Maybe.
And Brian.
She met me.
I thought Paul was gay and Brian was a redneck. And I still to this day believe that, so.
I'm just curious to see how much this fucking
I'm just curious to see what she thought about me.
When I came here, I honestly, I don't know,
you were just,
you know, I thought it was a beautiful place.
You seem cool for a foreigner.
I wasn't too sure about the people here. I think they're undereducated and brought down by this area and by local governments. They're kept down. They're kept low. Low pay, high taxes, they're kept down. And this is all they know.
Did you see the numbers? All of our PA listeners just dropped off the face of the earth.
Well, they need to realize...
All two of them?
They need to fucking realize what this place is. And what is out there. The opportunities that are out there. Not live in a fucking box. Or a bubble. Whatever you want to call this place.
Well, physically, this more resembles a box.
Yeah, this is a box. But even Billy didn't realize what was out there, you know? He thought his life was not going to go anywhere.
And for the longest time, it wasn't.
Yep.
And what about you?
As long as I remained a member of Permanent Midnight.
I'll tell you the truth, for as long as I lived here, I wanted to get out. But moving somewhere else, for me, it just becomes the same as what it was here. You know, you know...
That's because you're still on the East Coast.
Yep.
It's like, I went to New York and later found out that there's more people involved in film back here, which was astounding to me.
You're telling me.
I mean, even just simply working with you, you know what I mean? It's like,
mm-hmm.
When I left, I mean, you weren't as into this as what you are now and the knowledge you have now.
Yep.
I was definitely more, as far as music, more productive here, because I don't have anything up there anyway. I can't fit my drum set in
a
cubby hole. And, you know, everything else. I don't want to bitch and moan. It'll fucking bore people to death, but...
That's all we do is bitch and moan. That's all we ever did. So, it's par for the course.
Exactly. Right. I find it interesting, like, how somebody like Mary just sees... Because... I know what she, like, how she came here. That's how I feel about where I'm at. So, I was just wondering, perspective-wise.
Well, you came from the East Coast to go to the East Coast. She came from the West Coast.
All right, so she came from just a different world.
Pretty much.
Right.
More than you know.
You know, but I find
it's like
that
a different world out there.
Even where I grew up was a different world, the Midwest.
That's true.
It's a completely different world than this.
I find, and I've heard this from like several people. My cousin lives in Seattle, and I talked to her on a few occasions, and she was saying the same thing about West Coast people that Mary says about East Coast people. So I was wondering if like if people just get like too comfortable in an area, well, where they feel that they're bottled up because they're not particularly happy.
What West Coast people does she meet?
Well, she's been on the West Coast her whole life. She's been in California. I want to say like Venice.
Venice Beach.
No, Ventura. Ventura.
Oh, Ventura.
She's in Seattle now.
Hmm.
But I think she's been all over the West Coast. I'm not sure exactly where. Like, me, if I could point on a map and say where I wanted to go, there's so many places I'd love to visit in the mm-hmm. United States, you know. Particularly New England.
I have a whole slew of friends from the East Coast that moved out there and never will come back here.
Yeah, my situation is just mostly financial.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly expensive in New York.
I know it.
Incredibly.
Yeah, I thought it was bad in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's like heaven coming back here, paying for gas and...
Yeah.
You know, even the cigarette price is crazy. Even, $10 as opposed to, what is it here, $6?
Mm-hmm.
It's ludicrous, man.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that to go up here, too. It's only a matter of time.
I'm just waiting for everybody to just leave New York because of how... I mean, it's hard, man. You have to live... If you're not living with your parents at the age of 40, not because you're lazy and you can't get out, just because you can't afford to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all the rich people living in the Poconos paying to move to actually, you know, there's people that work in the city that live in the Poconos.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they would rather drive all that distance than to, you know, fucking buy a house out there. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking nuts. And then back here, I took notice the rent is getting high back here.
Yeah, property taxes and shit, most likely. Lackawanna County, fucking Luzerne. Being the most outrageous offenders, I would suppose.
Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, the government officials aren't having any problems, are they?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. They're having a good old time cutting budgets for education and healthcare.
Or stealing.
Who is the mayor here?
Of this little dump?
No. PA.
You mean the governor?
Yeah.
Who's that there, mayor of Pennsylvania?
Rendell? He's a Republican?
I thought it was Corbett.
Or Corbett. It's Rendell Corbett. Was the last one.
Yeah.
Corbett. He's a Republican.
Mm.
Was that Rendell? I don't know if he was...
Yeah, there. Rendell was
I gotta say, I do miss PA. For different reasons.
Certain things of PA.
It's because you love Billy.
Billy.
Oh. He wants to have a brown baby of his own.
A brown baby with red hair.
His own orange and brown.
Mm-hmm.
Prodigy.
Yes.
Yep.
Tap that ass.
Who's tapping who?
Is it gay if you suck my dick?
Really?
Really?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
You know, we have a fake pussy in here if you need it.
Deny, deny, deny.
What do you mean? Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. We also have a dildo if you need that as well.
I'll skip out on the dildo, but I'm really thinking about borrowing that fake pussy, though.
Really?
What is it?
It's a fake pussy.
Has your dick been in it?
Yeah.
Not recently.
Nope.
Is it clean?
Mm. Who knows?
Should probably clean it. We haven't used it.
There's a fucking, like, dried up crusted mayonnaise in it?
Shouldn't
or anything
be.
Like
it's
that?
Open.
Anything white and creamy?
No.
I'll borrow it. I'll give it a go. Yeah, hold on to you. I'll give it a whirl. I won't even take it home. I'll go in the bathroom real quick.
You can keep it.
No. I want to do what I do and then give it back to you.
Fuck you.
I'll clean it out, man.
Probably not very well.
No. You never done anything very well. Never did drums very well.
They have anal beads if you want those.
Ooh. That might... that might... Ooh. That might hurt.
How about a cock ring? Massager?
Okay, so cock rings are for what?
Cocks?
Yes. That is to make the male go longer, correct? Or does that stimulate the woman better?
Stimulates the woman. It really? Vibrates, too.
So let me ask you a question, Billy. Why would you need a cock ring?
I don't even remember the last time I used it.
It juggles his cojones, too.
Yeah.
It's what? It's cojone. Yeah.
Cojones.
It's cojone has that red goatee back down there. What color are Billy's pubes? They're probably red, right?
Dude, they're confetti red. It's like they're red. Like a ticker tag parade.
Red and gold. Down there. Fucking red and gold.
What's the hair on his butthole look like?
He never lets me look. I tried, you know. He's just not into that kinkiness.
Exit only.
See how red he gets when you talk about this shit?
He's all different shades of red right now.
I'm like cool as a cucumber and he's...
Yeah, there's a dark side of my moon for good reason. I'm just going to stay that way.
So I guess we can move on to our next portion of the podcast, Sex Education with Billy and Mary.
Oh, Jesus.
Educate me.
What so, do you want to know?
I got to ask a few questions.
Edumacation.
All right, so have you ever performed a prostate massage on Billy?
No, I have not.
Never?
Nope. God damn, that's wild.
Whenever my fingers get anywhere near, I mean within like a foot from that, he's like, ooh, and he tightens up his ass cheeks.
Yeah. So...
It ain't gonna happen anytime soon, but...
Does he make the noise too?
Maybe when he gets bored, like, 10, 15 years down the road, maybe.
Nope.
We'll give you a call.
Now, what would be wrong with that, William? It's not gay. She doesn't have a dick.
It just ain't my thing.
How do you know if you don't try?
Just not interested.
All right.
I'm
so...
just happy if my dick gets wet. That's all that matters. I'm easy.
Now that's a little rude.
I'm easy, man.
Easy.
So it doesn't matter what you do, the point is to come, right? That's the ultimate drive.
Come via penetration of some sort?
But what are you penetrating? If you're here by yourself.
If I'm here by myself anymore, I don't do
fake
shit.
Fake thing you're trying to give off to me?
How long has it been?
If there's any fucking wood beetles in that fucking pussy, I don't... At the tip of my dick gets bit. I want to come after you. I'm being serious.
If
I get in there and start swishing around and having fun...
You know what? I'm going to get it.
If anything bites that rusty little thing, it's going to need a tetanus shot.
I'm going to get this fake pussy out. And we're going to have a look at this fake pussy.
Yes! We need to do a video
cast. Have a look at the fake pussy.
Where is the fake pussy?
We need to do a video cast for this sort of thing.
Really?
Right. So, Billy, what do you...
This is where my dick has been.
What do you prefer, Billy? A hand job? Or a little fellatio?
Fucking fellatio, man.
Oh, where is the fake pussy?
Yeah. So what was the whole point of these podcasts again?
Just talking in general, I guess. Because we totally went off conversation about music, so.
I don't think there is
any
point.
Well.
Yeah, she's right. There's really no point. It's just we don't get together for long periods of time. Then when we get together, we have things to talk about. And we said, why not share it with the whole world? Why not share it with...
Or five people who have about an hour of their day to kill.
Right. Or five people who have turned it off at this point because they don't want to hear about your fucking butthole.
Ugh.
and what your wife does to it.
Yeah, that reminds me. I should probably apologize to family or any of my co-workers who might be hearing this.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I'll keep it clean.
Did you tell them you were doing this?
No, he just posted it on Facebook for the whole fucking world.
Oh.
And we have one person interested in listening.
Well, I'm sorry for them. You know.
It's a brother-in-law, so. It's Gary, right? Is he the one that posted?
Yeah.
He replied to it?
Yep.
And I don't know where it is.
It's just as well.
What did you do with it, Bill?
I thought it was in this box.
Last weekend, we had pulled the mattresses out and tossed them in there.
Billy, give me your light.
Jesus. We have pulled the mattresses out
replace the... Here's an interesting question, Mary. What do you think about Peyton Manning and the Colts, man?
I really want to kill the owner.
There goes your Super Bowl for the next 20 or 30 years.
No, he'll just win one wherever he goes.
Well, I mean for the Colts.
They're
not
going to
win.
Them anymore.
Are you going to follow...
I'm following Peyton. Where Peyton goes, I go.
So if he ends up in a purple jersey, you're going to be a Viking fan.
Yep.
Nice. But he won't.
Nope. How are they going to afford
him?
They say he wants to... they say, like, Seattle's really interested.
Seattle,
and of
Miami,
course the Jets are
Arizona. New York. The Jets just signed Dirty Sanchez to a 5-year contract.
And he sucks, too.
Yep. Fuckstick.
See, I think Peyton wouldn't work, with Rex Ryan. I don't think that would work out.
That'd be an ego clash.
That's been a common idea.
I don't think it's the ego thing. It's just Peyton has a certain way he does things. He's not a clown. Rex Ryan's a fucking clown.
Fucking ass clown over here.
We're gonna have to pass on the Facebook.
So, Billy. Got some popsicles in my pocket. In the fruit cellar. Sick of your bottle. Hole. You like popsicles?
Billy, what did you do with the fake pussy?
I didn't touch it.
You were fucking that fake pussy last night.
Nope. Were we here last
Herbert?
Night? Herbert the pervert.
Yeah. See, it's all in the gap of my teeth. Got a lot of air blowing through there.
I didn't realize your coworkers were going to be listening to this, Billy.
I don't know who's going to be listening to it.
I won't have any chance of getting hired at your place.
All of Billy's coworkers. You ever notice fucking Obama has that little whistle, too? That's freaky.
I never noticed that.
A little bit of a, like, lisp type thing.
A lisp.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Obama, have you ever seen the show Key and Peele on Comedy Central?
Negative.
It's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
There's a skit where they have Jordan Peele dressed as President Obama, impersonating President Obama, and he has an... What do they call it? An anger interpreter. Anger interpreter, who kind of interprets all of what Obama says because Obama's so cool, and like, amps it up, and, you know, it's just nothing
makes
but fucking testosterone
angry.
And angry. And
swear words and
yep,
it's pretty damn funny.
I've never seen it.
It is pretty good.
Cool.
What are the new shows that we watch aside from Walking Dead and comic book men?
Did you see the latest episode of Walking Dead? Either of you?
Yeah.
What did you think about Dale?
I didn't like it. I really liked Dale. I liked the actor that portrayed him.
I think his name is Jeffrey DeMunn. Yeah, he was a good actor, but I think his hippie shit was getting a little annoying.
His character was really getting on my nerves.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're living in that kind of a world,
exactly,
you cannot fucking be like
exactly.
that.
And I hated Shane for the longest time, but I'm starting to kind of see where he's going. But the thing is I heard, The guy who plays Shane, John Blizzle, whatever his last name is, I actually heard that he is signed on to a new show, so I bet to see him going next.
That wouldn't surprise me. Well, it's supposed to happen in the comic book. It happened in the first volume when When
I'm wondering if it's going to be the same
Rick's,
way.
Rick's son shot him.
That's a spoiler alert for you people out there.
Well, fucking tough shit. How long has that comic book been out now?
Yeah, but some people aren't caught up on it, you know?
Well, that's tough shit.
Excuse you.
I think he's insane.
Who?
I think he's gone a little bit insane.
Shane has. You know, Shane's demeanor has always been kind of flaky to me because of the fact that, first of all, okay, if you died, Billy, and we were such great friends, I'm not going to move in on your parade. Take care of your kid, mess around with your wife.
Like your wife, yeah.
Exactly.
Especially so quickly.
And yeah, and not only that, but then when I found out you're alive, I'm pissed because you're alive.
Yep.
The guy, you know, the guy's a fucking...
He's a douchebag.
Yeah. And Rick, I mean, he needs to step it up because in the comics he's a little more, he's not as like passive as he is in the comic. So, I bet he's gonna turn into the Rick that we're used to in the comic.
Mm.
More of like, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing for the group, and if I have to kill somebody, I'm gonna have to kill somebody.
They should have killed that kid.
Next
episode, they're gonna find out.
Speaking of that kid, do you think that he's really a thorn in her side, or what?
I think he's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think everything he says is a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was that scene with Carl where it was really kind of weird what he was trying to lure Carl in.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask me, get rid of Lori, get rid of Carl, get rid of Andrea, and just... bring in some new characters, because those people... I mean, and you got that...
Lori gets on my nerves big time.
Yeah, Lori, she gets on my fucking nerves.
But now she's pregnant, so I don't know where that's going to go.
Carol is extremely... Have you ever read the comic?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, wait till you find out what happens in the comics, so...
I think in that sort of a world, I would probably be somewhere between... I probably wouldn't have a whole lot of compassion left for people that can't survive... on their own, you know.
Yeah, it's not, you know, I understand where Dale was coming from, but on the other hand, it's just like, you can't trust that many people when you know the world's gone to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, his whole diatribe and all that bullshit was just
I felt like annoying. They should have taken that kid back into town and left his ass.
Exactly.
For the zombies.
Exactly.
What, you know, fired off some guns, get the zombies to come, feed them to the fucking zombies.
They should have just, and if you even go back farther, they should have just left him when his leg was impaled on that. Yeah, just let him go, you know?
What a way to go.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, we watched that. You watched Comic Book Man. I haven't gotten into it too much. I watched American Horror Story back in fall.
That's never seen that.
Pretty good show. It's going to be surprising where they go with it, because it pretty much ended to where that whole storyline with those people are done.
Hmm.
So I think what they're going to do is just keep going from different characters and different houses and stuff.
Probably.
You know, because, well, I'm not going to say anything to spoil it, but it just...
I was going to ask you, have you seen that reality show Face Off?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I haven't watched this season. I watched... There was a season with a guy named Tad, I think his name was.
I've only seen two episodes now.
He was in... they had this guy on there who was in this movie called Horror Business. And it's a documentary on three filmmakers.
Mm.
And this guy was doing special effects for a film called Zombie Honeymoon. And then he was on that fucking show. And I never got to finish it to see if he won or not. But I mean, he was like right up there with some of the finalists, and he's got some talent.
Sweet.
But I remember seeing him like 6 years ago on that documentary, and that was a good documentary because, you know, I found Ron Adkins, who is a Las Vegas filmmaker. I found his work, his movies, which are good. David Stagnari, who was in the band Bile.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other... it's escaping me now who else was in it, but... Very good fucking documentary on like, independent... Like, you know, how to be poor and make films, you know?
Hmm.
And how literally sometimes people go nuts just to just to get their creative out. You know, like all the most interesting singers and painters and filmmakers are fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like Van Gogh. I mean, that dude chopped his ear off before killing himself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you like, what does art do to people? You know?
I'm not insane. Well, I think it's kind of the idea that all great art's made from suffering.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point in doing something creative?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could be inspired by something beautiful like a sunrise to, you know, kind of emulate that, but, you know.
Yeah, art is really, honestly, a reflection of society.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, so there's evil movies out there, but that's a reflection of the evil that people do. You know, the music we listen to. I mean, you know, you have these people who portray these characters in films, but these fucking people exist in real life. Mm-hmm. They're based off of somebody, you know? Leatherface is based off of a real fucking person.
Art imitating life, yeah.
Yep. So, I think, you know, all art is just really, you know, it's reflective on society.
Because
our society is fucked up.
It's only getting better.
Yeah, look at us.
Exactly. We're boring the shit out of people.
Hey, we're not polluting the fucking earth for your benefit.
Whoever is with our offspring. Not listening.
Yeah.
Whoever will not be listening.
How come we're not getting paid to not have kids by the government?
What?
Well, I mean, people who have kids, I mean, when it comes tax time, they get money back.
Yes.
So why are we not? How come we're not getting money? Because we're not having kids who will... Well, let's face it, if we were to have kids, it'd end up, you know, killing everybody, or... Well, I really only see one thing happening. That's pretty much, you know, total and complete domination.
I have no clue what you just said.
I think it depends on what your status in life is, whether or not your kids are going to be a burden upon society.
Well, I mean,
if you're a fucking... medical assistance or cash assistance person that, you know, then you're likely going to have 50 kids so you can keep doing that. If it was us having a kid, it'd be different.
Mm.
So do you think, say, a psychopath or a serial killer is inherently born like that, or, again, just from his surroundings in his childhood?
Either or.
Yeah, it could be genetically based. I mean, if a psychopath's brain is wired to operate in a different way.
Yeah, because I know they tried to do tests on Jeffrey Dahmer's brain. I'm not sure if they did. But they actually wanted to do tests on his brain.
Because
he was like the typical serial killer who started out killing animals and young kids. Much like somebody's sister we know.
And what kind of child?
Not young kids, just animals.
Mm.
Childhood? Well, his father was a chemist. His mother was just like a plain Jane. Nothing, no inkling to why he went crazy, but I guess for the most part, when they split up, I mean, they were still living in a house, and it was just awkward for him as a young man. But, I mean, that to me is no excuse to become a fucking weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people grow up in a broken home? So... Mm-hmm. Maybe it was inherent, you know. Maybe it was just.
Some people have a screw loose.
He actually killed some. You know, he tried to like make a zombie out of somebody. That to me, and he was also into that chemistry shit, like his father. So you know, that's where he just tried to do little experiments and stuff.
Mm.
And I think, you know, cannibalism is an act of. Have you ever heard somebody say to a kid, "Oh, you're so cute, I want to eat you up." Well, cannibalism is like the most primitive form of fashion. Hmm. Passion. Like to show passion. And there's many different types of cannibalism, like in tribes and stuff like that. Or like you have like the serial killer who consumes flesh to keep the victim with them forever. Even though technically they shit it out. Whatever. But, you know, like Dahmer was the type of guy who he ate people because he wanted to keep his victims with him, to be a part of him. Hmm. That's why they found pretty much all of his victims. Like, this guy had testicles and frying pans.
So kind of like a homoerotic disorder.
I mean, there was something wrong with the guy. Definitely something wrong with him. I mean, you could say homoerotic disorder.
The only way he
keeps
them is to ingest them.
Right. Yeah. I just like Ed Gein, man. Mm. I mean, he actually made lampshades out of human skin. Mm. He made
a Blind Melon song about that.
Yeah. I mean, Mortician does a song like the nipple belt. He actually made a belt from fucking nipples.
That's weird.
And he wore the face, the breast, and the vagina of one of his victims.
He ate a cereal out of a skull cap.
Exactly. Yeah. Hmm. Yep. Out of a skull. He ate food out of it. Yeah. That's like the classic. You know, I mean, that's where Norman Bates was inspired, because he was so attached to his mother that when his mother died, he could not fend for himself. You know, and he really, to me, he's not like a serial killer, because he only killed like two or three people, but the guy was just.
So then, along those premises, I mean, if he really couldn't function on his own, how many other people do you expect to see like that spring up with this generation? Because ain't no fucking kids that I can see who can survive on their own, because they're too fucking stupid.
Well, I think
they're stupid and they have everything given to them.
Yeah, yeah. But I think
once you take all that away, what do you have?
I don't think laziness.
The kid finding himself with a new Super Bowl.
I don't think laziness makes psychopaths. Like, you know, there's a few people we can just drop names, you know, but they're just lazy people. You know, they're just people who are leeches. But on the other hand, you have people who really have shit wrong with them. And when they face like a personal crisis, like losing a mother or being raped as a kid, it just sends them off the fucking deep end.
True.
But you have people like Ted Bundy, who on the outside had everything going for him. He was going to law school, you know what I mean? He was a good-looking person. He did not fit the profile of a serial killer whatsoever. And this guy did evil shit to women. You know, he had no care in the world. I mean, he was put in prison, escaped prison, and went on a fucking murdering rampage. Who killed like three women in one night. You know what I mean? So, and his last interview, he blamed all of his problems on pornography, seeing pornography at a young age. Well, fuck, man. I should be a fucking killer, too.
Yep. I should have been a killer in high school, at least.
You know, and it's like...
So for people that aren't wired straight, when they see things like that, they may get different images. Mm-hmm. They see, they might hallucinate when they look at that.
Yep.
See very bad things.
I think some people just have like an animal instinct that, you know, Canada thinks they can rehabilitate people. That's why they don't have like a life sentence. And I don't think they.
It might be the same for Norway too.
Yeah, Norway does not have a life sentence.
Yep.
I don't think they put people to death, do they?
No.
No, it wouldn't make sense if they don't have a life. No, but like.
No, because Varg got out.
Yeah, but I'm talking people who are serial. When they kill, like, they're serial killers who continue. See, it's pretty basic. Like, if you're a serial killer and you stop killing, there's two reasons why you stop killing. You're dead or you're already in jail for something else. I don't think you can turn that off. And there's only one person that I know of. The name escapes me, but there's only one person that was a serial killer that's living on the streets, that's been convicted and spent time in jail. The rest of them are fucking doomed in their little cell. I think it was a chick, though. I think it was a woman, serial killer. She's actually out now, married with kids. Crazy.
Huh.
Mm.
Interesting.
Was that because she's a female that they let her out?
I don't know. I don't think she was. I don't think it was in this country.
Why was she? You can't remember what the details of.
No, I just remember hearing it briefly. I think she just killed. She killed a few people. She was sentenced and she's free. And I think it was in a different country. Because I think it might be in maybe Canada. I don't know. A lot of countries believe that they can rehabilitate people. Sydney, look up Sydney Tierhue, I think his name is.
Can you spell that?
T-A-T. No. I can't spell Tierhue. But he went on the set of Shall We Dance with Susan Sarandon, I think Jennifer Lopez, a bunch of these people. He went there, stole a necklace from her, or this guy stole a necklace from her, and he met up with this Sydney Tierhue dude. And this guy took him home, or took him to a hotel, and just fucking killed him, man. And he wrote letters to the guy who wrote a book on him. He wrote letters to this guy in detail about what he did and what he felt as he was killing this guy. It's probably the worst stuff I've ever read. Like how when he gutted him, he stuck his face up inside the rib, what is it, canal or whatever, I don't know. He just stuck his face up there and just sniffed.
The rib cage.
And he had like, when he like took a big whiff of it, it was just like this exonerating feeling that he's never, I mean, he went into detail what he did to this fucking guy. Mm. But he's in Canada, so he might actually get out of prison like in 20, 30 years, if he lives that long. I don't think people like that could be rehabilitated.
No.
And he's not a serial killer. Well, there's speculation he might have had more victims, but this is the only one that he's really tried. He was tried for. I want to say that, but I could be wrong.
Well, I can't imagine having some sort of treatment for something like that without the treatment itself being just about as extreme as what was doled out to necessitate it.
What do you mean?
Well, what made him...
Well,
I always want to know about someone's past.
Yeah, I don't know too much about his past. I basically listened to a podcast. The guy who wrote the podcast... the guy who does the podcast wrote the book on the guy. I don't know about his past so much. I know he was a homosexual, and apparently during this whole thing, he kind of almost blacked out in a way. Because he handed himself in. After he killed a guy, he went to the police station and said, I just killed this guy. Go here. You know, and what he did was he made this guy into a human puzzle where he chopped off the limbs and just stuck them in different places. Somebody like that to do that much work, it's like, that is not fucking normal.
Yeah.
That's far beyond
that's
normal.
That's beyond just killing.
Exactly. That's the point I'm trying, like, I don't know if he ate the flesh, but he was so precise with the way he did it. You know, it was like
it's almost like he maybe like medical. Somebody else was inside of his body.
Yeah, and that's
making him do this because, and then he snapped back. He came back into his body and realized what he did and turned himself in. Maybe?
Yeah, like a lot. You see, a lot of these, in you know, like what I've read, you know. They relive it over and over again. So even though they're sitting in a fucking cell, they always relive the memory. They always relive it. And that gives them, you know, that keeps them going. Like,
until they get out.
Exactly. Or until, like in America, until they're fucking dead or mm-hmm. whatever. But, you know, they just constantly have that to relive. That's why a lot of them take trophies. They'll take panties and stuff like that, which ultimately is stupid because that gets them caught anyway. Mm-hmm. The BTK killer who is in Wichita. Mm-hmm. Did you know about him?
I saw a documentary on him.
But he was recently. Doing, what decade were you guys there?
That was the 70s, wasn't it?
70s.
70s to 80s.
70s, and he stopped for like 20,
yeah,
15 years.
He stopped for a while,
years.
And then he started up again.
And like 91 was his last kill. Were you guys there around that time?
Yep. And he was like, no one even knew.
Nope.
He had kids, wife, church.
Yep.
All that shit.
And the reason why he started back up was because he went dormant for years because he had kids. And some paper on one of the anniversaries was just kind of like calling out to him, like, where did this guy go? Is he dead? Is he whatever? So he saw the paper, and he's an egomaniac. Mm-hmm. So he wrote these people. And then they said, well, why don't you send us a floppy disk? Mm-hmm. So he sent them the floppy disk, and somehow they went into the little data, and they found like where he was. Like they found out he did it from a church, because he was like the president of the church or whatever you call it. and they found out his name. So by him being like that, just
he screwed himself.
Exactly. Yeah, because very seldom do killers just stop just like that. And he was one of the rare cases where for years he just stopped killing. This is not a
This went kind of dark, didn't it?
Yeah, this went really dark. This went from music to sex education to people cutting people up.
Yeah, but that's what we, a few of folks' favorite things.
That's what we live in, though, you know? I have books, Mary. I could probably fucking send you if you ever want to read them. I'm reading an interesting book now on unsolved killers. Killers who have killed and have never been apprehended.
They never caught the Green River killer, I don't think, did they?
Green River was... Gary Ridgway. That's out in Seattle?
They caught him?
That's Seattle. Washington.
Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They caught him in 2001 with DNA. But he is right now, I think, technically, because a lot of serial killers take more, like, fucking Henry Lee Lucas said he killed, like 500 people. And he can't be linked to all those killings, so they actually equated that he killed, like, somewhere in the 40s or 50s or whatever. But Ridgway is proven to kill 79 women. I think he holds the record for American serial killers. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I could be wrong.
Goddamn overachievers.
Gary Leon Ridgway, yeah. Hmm. Yep, he was the Green River, yeah.
And Green River, mm-hmm.
Out in Seattle. But Wichita, like, you guys were right in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big Wichita is. Is it big?
I would say maybe close to 500,000.
Yeah, and apparently he another uncharacteristic thing about serial killers is they don't kill on their own turf. But he was fucking killing people.
Neighbors real quick. And shit.
Yeah, because he was like the town, you know, where they go around, hey, clean up your yard, it's mm-hmm. messy. And he actually harassed a lot of women. And he made a lot of enemies. Because he was like a dog catcher and he would just take their dog for no reason. Oh, your dog shit on your yard. No, I didn't. Well, I'm going to take him. And he would put him down and stuff.
Mm.
And it was when he was caught and he had his trial and stuff like that. His final word was like an Oscar speech.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's a very... Like, what he said? He said something stupid like... I'm going to miss eating pizza on Friday nights and walking my dog. And he was just very... No compassion for what he did or anything, you know. Crazy shit.
Good times.
Yep. How long have we been doing? An hour and a half.
Yeah.
You want to call it?
Well, I was thinking about taking a piss break, unless you want to jump onto another subject.
What time is it? 1:56.
Yeah, it's 1:56.
Yeah. Because I should be going.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up for this week's edition of Murder Mystery Podcast.
We're going to have to take callers when we get a few people listening.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll be one of them if I can't get back here.
So that'll tie up the line.
I can stand outside the house and call in.
Hang on. Am I calling on a podcast? I'm calling on a podcast?
Yeah, fair enough.
Hi, I was wondering, last week you guys did a segment on sex education. Is that right?
Sure.
Yes.
I'm having trouble with my boyfriend, and I want to know what I can do to liven up our sex life.
Alright, first off, Jackie, I know Hook's not your boyfriend, he's your husband now. Second.
Fake pussy.
Fake pussy.
My name's Matilda. Not Jackie. Yeah, hello?
Beep!
Hello? Hello?
Hi, what are you doing?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting the sex change.
You have a genetic identifier, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody somewhere is having an orgasm because of that.
Turn up the bass first.
All right.
Are your balls rattling, Billy? What?
Nope.
I didn't even make the fucking...
I thought we were done.
Oh, come on, Billy. Come on, Billy.
All right, fine. Might as well put you guys out of your misery.
See you later.
Take it easy.